We thank you for tuning in to the Chosen City Church Sermons podcast. At Chosen City Church, we are chosen to overcome, to build, and to be like Jesus. We pray that this podcast will empower you to do the same on today.
Let me set it up for you like this. You know how good you feel when somebody loves you just because of you? Not really asking you for anything. They just love you just because of you. We're made in the image of God. We get that from God. That means every now and then, God just wants to know how much you love him just because he is. So can we just take about 30 seconds and just love on God? Come on, let's do it. Let's do this till heaven pays attention. You just love on him in your own way. It just might be your hands lifted. It might be words that you say. But just really love on God. God, I love you so much, God. I just love you, God. You're just awesome. Are y'all loving on God with me? Come on, family. Love on God in this atmosphere. Listen, fellas, we got to love the creed on God. In this season like never before. He's going to keep you. He's going to turn around. Ladies, we got to love on God like never before. Thank you. Oh, I love you, God. I know you kept me, God. I know you kept me, God. I know you're keeping me, God. And I know that some people today are, their life about to be changed. They don't even know it yet, God. But the way your spirit is moving in this place on today, they don't even know it yet, but I'm excited for them, even though they don't know it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you will focus us in, draw us in. Let there be no distractions in the house today, no unnecessary messages on our cell phones, no distraction from the person sitting next to us, no distraction in our own mind, because what you're about to do today in this moment is going to change somebody's life forever. And the enemy is going to try to get in the midst. So we cast the enemy out right now in the name of Jesus. We cast away all distractions, all frustration, all disappointment. God, let us draw in like never before. God, let the sound system work like never before. Let the air work like never before, God. Let everything just be perfect, Father God, so that your people can get what you have for them today. Lord, when it's all said and done, we're careful to give your name all the glory, give your name all the honor, give your name all the praise. It's in the powerful and in the beauty name of Jesus we pray. Let the people of God say amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Amen. Listen, fam, I want to do something. I want to make some noise. A big shout out to all of our first time visitors, Chosen City. Let's make some noise for all of our guests. Hallelujah. Amen. To God be the glory. I'm going to ask that we close the doors at the back. Now, you know your grandma taught y'all better than that. The air on, now you close them doors. we're trying to keep it right. Thank y'all so much. I love them. Listen, it's our custom here. We love to stand for the reading of the Word of God just because it helps us to take it in for ourselves. We're starting a new series on today. I want the media team to put the name of our new series up. The next chapter will be your best chapter. Can you receive that? You know me, maybe some of you don't. We don't say stuff like that just because it sounds good, because it sounds sell tickets. We say that when God says so. And today, you'll be able to see that in the Word of God. Not just today, because we're going to go through Romans, the 8th chapter. We're going to work our way through Romans, the 8th chapter, all right? We're going to take our time today, like good Alabama barbecue. Y'all don't make barbecue like we make it in Alabama. We take our time, huh? Amen. But come on, everybody say that with me. Say, the next chapter will be your best chapter. Now, since all of y'all got a little bit of prophetic in you, turn to anybody that you want to and encourage them and tell them the same thing. The next chapter will be your best chapter. Hallelujah. Listen, we'll be reading from, hallelujah, y'all doing it. Oh, y'all get ready today. The word of God comes from Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 22, reading to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 2. Ready, set, read. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. And for the first sermon in this series, I would just like to use as a subject as the Holy Ghost would allow, I'm free. Can you just shout that out? I'm free. Oh, y'all ready already? Woo! I'm free. My God. My God. Pastor Chris, you ready, Pastor Chris? You ready today? Yeah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hey, listen, family. The way God has been moving and the way he moved at the 8 o'clock service, I want us to be ready and be in expectation. I truly believe spiritually that what God is saying is true. The next chapter will be your best chapter. And I was amazed and excited when God told me to take the people through Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, don't worry. For those of y'all who think we're going to be in here all day, we ain't going to cover all of it today. We just going to cover the tip. We won't get that far because it's so powerful. Romans, the 8th chapter, is an amazing place for us to understand and to receive that the next chapter will be the best chapter, because Romans, the 8th chapter, y'all, is considered by theologians. Y'all know who theologians are? Those are the individuals that go to school and they spend their life studying the word of God. They go to the biblical lands and they look at archaeology. They go and they study the sacred text. They study the Hebrew, the Greek, the Aramaic. They write the commentary, so on and so forth. They're human beings just like you, but they spend their life studying the word of God. They argue over a lot of stuff. They argue over the role of women in ministry. They argue over how the Holy Spirit moves today. They argue over whether or not God still is a healer and whether or not God still performs miracle signs and wonders. I can testify that God is still performing miracle signs and wonders. I don't care what anybody has to say about that. But one thing that they tend to agree on, Brother Rob, is that Romans, the 8th chapter, is possibly the greatest chapter in the Bible. They say that because you see the work of God the Father, you see the work of God the Son, and you see the work of the Holy Ghost. You see God loving you in spite of you, so much so that he sent his Son to set us free from sin, so much so that after he set us free from sin, he said, I won't leave you alone in the earth because it's crazy down there. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to guide you. And so Romans, the 8th chapter, is considered powerful because we see the triune nature of God, the Trinity, as we refer to now. We know the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but all that speaks to is three part. God God Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We see them working in a dynamic way, and what you're going to see in this particular passage of text is that the next chapter will be your best chapter because Romans 8 says so. Can I tell you a little bit about what Romans 8 is saying and how we can be assured that no matter where you are, the next chapter can be the best chapter. Paul is our guide. He was once known as Saul / Paul. His name was not a change per se. It was the fact that he was a Roman citizen and he was also a Jew. So you see his name used interchangeably. He is writing to the Romans, the city of Rome, probably about 1 million people there, and they got new believers, they got old believers, but they are going through some things. And he writes this entire book, but in this 8th chapter, Deacon Deborah, it appears like it all comes together. He seems to make it plain that so everybody can catch it. The goal of scholarship is to make the complex simple, and I believe that Romans, the 8th chapter, is dropped in such a way that he helps us to understand what we got to do to make the next chapter the best chapter. Now, you got to pay careful attention. I'm going to try to talk real slow. Y'all know I get excited about the gospel, but I need some people to get free today, so I'm going to talk real slow. Only had a half cup of coffee because I needed y'all to really catch this, and I need you to catch every syllable. You know what the first thing that y'all got to do if the next chapter is going to be your best chapter? The first thing is this, that we have to win. Watch this. We have to win the mental war. Everybody say we got to win the mental war. We got to win the mental war. Listen, let's read the word of God. I love God's law with all my heart. Verse 23. Everybody say but. But. Now, usually we should normally shout off of a but. But not this one. It's a different kind of but. This is like a bad news but. I love God. But there is another power within me that is at war. Where? With my mind. Okay, we want to stop right there before we go any further. And I want to tell you that this is real talk. Every last one of us, for the most part, I truly believe, have a heart for God. Is there anybody that does not? You're still in a good place, because after God get through the day, you're going to love him like the rest of us. But I want to tell you, you love God. You love what God stands for, don't you? You love God. You know what God has done for you and your family. You love God. You know you would not be here if God's hand was not on your life. Is that most of our testimony? You love God. You understand the concept that when we are obedient to God, that is really what opens up God's favor in our life. We understand that the word of God says that when we're obedient, we'll be what? Blessed where? In the what? In the city. And blessed where? In the field. And blessed when we come and blessed when we go. So we want to do all that we can because we love God. But the raw and the real is, put it back up, media team, one more time. Look at that verse. Look at the first part. There's another power within me that is at war with my mind. Romans, the 7th chapter, about 2 verses before this, Paul says, I can sum up real life like this. I love God, but every time I want to do good, evil is always present. I love God, but every time I try to keep my tongue, you make me use them four-letter words. I love God. I try to do the right thing, but the way you keep giving me that side, I feel like moving some furniture. I love God, and I trust you, God, but I'm waiting on you, God. But real talk, God, it seems like I've been waiting on a long time, and it hadn't quite shifted for me yet. This statement, family, was so powerful that some commentaries would actually tell you that what we see in Romans, the 7th chapter, because to understand what was happening in Romans, the 8th chapter, we had started at the end of 7, they said it had to be some other dude talking. They said, it's no way that the person who was in Romans 8 who was praising the Lord is the same one that at the end of Romans 7 is talking about, I love God, but I struggle sometimes. But you ain't got to be a theologian to know there's real life. You as an individual know that you love God, but you struggle sometimes. So I said, God, what was Paul's struggle? I said, because I don't hear enough people talk about the fact that Paul struggled. He was anointed. He wrote at least 12 books in the New Testament, wrote more books of the Bible than anybody. So he was favored for real, but he struggled. I said, God, how do we know he struggled? Because I needed people to know that this is a real person talking. He said, remind them that Paul is the one that often talked about a thorn in his flesh. Y'all remember that? The Bible doesn't tell us what the thorn was, and I'm glad it doesn't, because what the thorn represents is you. The thorn represents what you deal with. The thorn represents a bad diagnosis. The thorn represents a failed relationship. The thorn represents issues in your mind. Everybody has a thorn. How did I know that Paul has a thorn? Because Paul had it yesterday. You see, one of the things you got to remember about the writer in the Bible, you're going to always get more out of the Bible if you know who is writing and who they are writing to. It brings it into context. So Paul is like, let me tell you about who I am. He said, I was an individual that was raised as a Jew, not just an ordinary Jew. I was an A-plus student. The Bible literally tells us who his teacher was, a prophet by the name of a rabbi by the name of Gamaliel. The Bible says he sat under the feet of Gamaliel. He was a high-rising Jewish individual. He was an individual that was highly regarded. If he was in your child's elementary class, he'd be the one you get tired of, because when your child getting a B, he got all the A's. He was the one that always brought the apple to the class, to the teacher. He was the one that won every spelling bee. He won every math contest. Paul, as a youngster, was that guy, and they saw so much in him as a rising, upcoming Jew. Paul was so zealous for God that when they told him about a man named Jesus who was born before he existed, they told him that there was an individual named Jesus that came and messed up our religiosity. They messed up our understanding of Judaism. They said this barefoot carpenter from a ghetto called Nazareth, he was not focused on people being perfect. He was telling folk that God loved them anyway. You know, it was a time where a woman, we caught her in the act of committing adultery, and we wanted to have her stoned, but Jesus said that the person without sin cast the first stone. He started messing up our religiosity. It was a Sabbath day, and you know the religion, the law says there can't no healing happen on the Sabbath, but you know that it was somebody needed a healing on the Sabbath, and he had the nerve to heal him anyway. He don't follow the rules. He just do what he want to do. Paul said, I don't know about this guy, but he sounds like a troublemaker. Matter of fact, put me on the case. Whenever we find one of the followers, back then they weren't calling them Christians. They were called followers of the way. They would always say, there's this group of people and they were following the way. Little did they know they were proclaiming the gospel, because Jesus said what? That he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man could come to the Father except by him. So Paul is saying, I don't know about this way stuff. Only thing I know is my religious rituals. You better be careful when your rituals get in the way of a move of God. People, we got to be open in this season that God is moving in a different way. God is doing exceedingly and abundantly. He's pouring out his spirit afresh. Revival is in the land. And Paul at the time couldn't receive it. So he said, I'm going to be on assignment. Whenever y'all see the followers of the way, let me know. He heard about one named Stephen. Y'all know Stephen? One of the first deacons in the Bible. Stephen was a follower of the Lord to the point that they said, you got a choice. You can give up all this stuff or die. He said, for God I live, for God I die. When they got ready to stone Stephen to death, you know who was in the crowd cheering them on? Paul. When they went out to arrest Christians, you know who was leading a search warrant with the Jewish SWAT team? Paul. When they went down to the courthouse and trumped up charges to get them arrested for just being wanting to exercise their faith freely, you know who was down there signing the arrest warrant? Paul. Paul had come to the conclusion that what he was doing was right. Side point, you better be careful, because all of your conclusions ain't right. Paul had gotten to the place that he knew what he was doing was right. And so then he goes and he gets an intel report. He gets a tip on the hotline. They must have had a reward out of something. Call 1-800-JEW and we'll let you know what we can do for you. He said, hey, I got a tip. It's a group of them at a way. They down there at the block. They having a meeting in a secret space because at that time they couldn't worship freely. Family, listen real carefully. In Western culture, we sometimes forsake the simple fact that we could come in here whenever we want to. Y'all got to understand that this don't happen everywhere in the world. You got to understand the fact that you can come when you want to, you can say what you want to say and feel how you want to feel is a blessing from the Lord. At that time, they couldn't, so they had to come. They had to have a meeting, whether it was in somebody's back room, in the garage, in the woods. They had to hide. They had to come together secretly, and that's what they did. Paul gets a tip on the hotline that they meeting in Damascus. Paul goes down to the magistrate, gets him an arrest warrant, and he says, I'm going to take this arrest warrant, and I'm going to go arrest these followers of the way, and the same thing that happened to Stephen is going to happen to them. But as he's moving on the Damascus highway, he's getting closer to his objective. He's already sized up what he's going to do when he catch him. He's already got a plan to make sure that nobody can escape out the back or escape out of the room. He was already thinking about how he was going to be brutal in his arrest. He was always going to remind them that their lives didn't matter. He was already planning for what he was going to do to make an example out of them so that nobody else would be followers of the way. But, everybody say but. All of a sudden on the Damascus highway in the book of Acts, the Bible says that a bright light came down from the throne room. This was not any ordinary light. It was a light directly from the light of the world that shined right on Paul. And when the light hits you, your life has to change. Did you hear what I said? When the light hits you, your life has to change. Family, that's why you got to bring people with you to church that you love. I know they don't want to come, but all you got to do is expose them to the light. Listen, let them get into the house. Maybe your child didn't want to come. Maybe your boo thing didn't want to come. But if they get in the house and the light connects with them, the same light that changed you will be the same light that'll change the one that you love. Paul is hit with the light. Shout out to everybody that's been hit with the light. You know that your life was never the same. When the light hit me, it took certain taste out of my mouth. When the light hit me, I didn't go to certain places. When the light hit me, I stopped calling certain people. When the light hit me, I had to do some stuff different. Do I have any witnesses of the power of the light? So the light hits him. And he changes because Jesus asked him a question. Why are you persecuting me? You thought you was doing it wrong. Right. You thought you was doing it right. But you are persecuting me. God ever asked you that question? Why are you going against the plan that I have for your life? So now he realizes that his whole life, he was going the wrong direction. And my sisters and brothers, this is what starts the war of the mind. You see, now he realizes that he was wrong. And he realizes that he was big wrong. He realized that when Stephen was stoned, he was partly responsible for the death of an innocent man. He realized that some of the decisions he was making based on what he thought was right, it actually was wrong. What do you do when there's a war in your mind based off your yesterday? He had a war in his mind because even when he became a believer, he lost one of his best friends by the name of Barnabas. Him and Barnabas had a disagreement about an individual by the name of John Mark. And they decided to separate from John Mark. And Paul said, well, Barnabas said, if you won't go with him, I'm going to go with him and I'm going to leave you alone. It started a war in his mind because you're like, man, this was one guy I trusted, and now I don't even have him. It started a war in his mind when the thorn in his flesh that he prayed to God for 3 times for a healing, and God wouldn't heal him. What do you do when you love God, but it's not working in your favor in that moment? What do you do when you love God and you cannot get past the sting of your yesterday? It causes a war in the mind. Can I tell you what a war in the mind looks like? A war in the mind looks like individuals. I talked to an individual yesterday who gave me their testimony, and they don't mind me sharing it anonymously, was that they had an issue with their children because their child was going into a situation where he was concerned that there may be abuse happening at the home their child was going. Not because he saw anything, but he heard that a abuser was there who had abused somebody else. So naturally, he's concerned about what's going to happen with his child while the child is at that place. I said, but you're not telling me something. What as a real concern, but what else? Why are you broken behind this? He said, because all I can think about was when I was 13. And I was put in a situation. He said, I remember the smell of the day. I remember the clothes that I had on. And all I can think about is that if this happens to my child, I'm going to pull up. And whatever happens next. That's a war of the mind. I love God, but what happened to me can't happen to them. And if I got to take matters in my own hands, I'm going to take matters in my own hands. What do you do? All the veterans in the room, wave your hands high. All the vets in the room, all the vets, we love you, we appreciate you. Veterans, hey man. Veterans have brought something to light that has been around, and you don't have to be a veteran to deal with it. But because we have been in so much warfare lately as a nation, it's called post-traumatic stress disorder. It's real. It's when you go into combat and you experience something that is so traumatic that what happens is, as a soldier, Brother Coleman, we are taught the language is, and I'm not being disrespectful to the pulpit, but the language is clear: suck it up and drive on. That's literally what they tell you. They say, I don't care when somebody dies. I was over there for a year and I saw death up close and personal. What would happen is that somebody would die. We would take their boots. We would take their dog tag. We would take their rifle. We would take their soldier. They would play taps. But guess what? At the end of that, you got about 5 more minutes to cry. And then guess what? You back on mission. You back on assignment. And wow, in some ways, pushing through is a good thing. The only way that the next chapter is going to be the best chapter is if you deal with the issues of now. Can I help you to understand that it's not just veterans that have dealt with some post-traumatic stress disorder? If you've been in a bad car accident and almost lost your life, that can cause post-traumatic stress. If you have gone through a divorce, that can cause post-traumatic stress. If you have been in the system fighting in family court, that could cause post-traumatic stress. If you have been a person that has been diagnosed with a disease that could have killed you or killed your child, it's post-traumatic stress. If you a person that is just going through something that nobody else knows about, it can cause some post-traumatic stress. And what happens, here's the problem with PTSD: we make decisions from a wounded place instead of from a well place. And because we are making decisions from a wounded place, it's impacting what God wants to do in our lives. When a person makes decisions from a wounded place, when God opens a door that no man can shut, because of your wounds, you're going to be afraid to walk in it. When you make decisions from a wounded place, when God closes a door, meaning no, this is not the way that you want to go, because of your wounds, you won't trust God, and you keep trying to go down a path that's not for you. When you make decisions from a wounded place, couples in the house, because you've not dealt with your wounds, you think that the issue is your spouse. Well, in reality, sometimes it's the man or the woman in the mirror that has to deal with it. But it's not that you're a bad person. It's the war of your mind. Can I talk about abuse a little bit more? Now, listen, abuse is never okay as an adult who would dare hurt a child. But the reality of it is, I used to work as a first responder. And I've had to encounter people who have done that crime face to face. And I would just tell you something that's raw and real is that most of them were replicating what happened to them when they were a child. Is that making an excuse for the behavior? Absolutely not. But is the reality of the circumstance that that chain has not been broken and it goes from generation to generation to generation? Everybody got a family member that you know that you wouldn't leave your child with. It's a war of the mind. So what do you do when your mind is at war? Can I talk to you and let you know that today God is saying clearly that the next chapter will be the next best chapter, but you got to deal with the present chapter. You got to deal with it. Every last one of us, from the pulpit to the back door, you got to look at the reality and say, sometimes it's not your baby mama fault. Sometimes it's not your baby daddy fault. Sometimes it's not the employer's fault. Sometimes it's not the system's fault. Sometimes I have just been in a fight for my life. And every time I want to do good, evil is always present. I want to encourage you today that we have to be able to get over this. How do we get over this warfare that is in our mind? I want you to think about the fact that you have a warfare, every last one of us, because the enemy does not want you to be who God has called you to be. The enemy does not want your next chapter to be your best chapter. He wants to keep your mind at war. Did you hear what I said? He wants to keep your mind at war because God knows this about you. God knows that if your mind ever gets free, if your mind ever gets clear, if you ever have some peace, if you could ever think a thought all the way through, if you could ever get a whole night's sleep, the enemy knows what you are capable of. The question is, do you know what you are capable of when you are free? Do you know what God is going to do through your hand, through your gift, when you get set loose from whatever has had you bound? So how do we do it? What we got to do in order for our next chapter to be our best chapter? Next thing we got to do is simple. Watch this. You have to acknowledge where you are. Everybody say, acknowledge where I am. Watch this in the text. So the writer here is talking about the war. Then he does something. He acknowledges where he is. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? I want to deal with that first line, that first sentence. Oh, what a miserable person that I am. Paul here, the writer, is saying, I get it. I know when I come in church, I'm supposed to say, God is good. And y'all supposed to say, all the time. And I respond by saying, all the time, God is good. I know when I come in church, you ask me how I'm doing, I'm supposed to say, I'm saved, I'm set free, and I'm delivered. I know that I'm supposed to always be able to declare that he may not come when I want him, but he'll be there right on time. While every last one of those statements is true, for the next chapter to be your best chapter, you got to really acknowledge where you are. Okay, really, real talk. Paul said, I'm miserable. I love God, but I'm miserable. The book of Lamentations, the whole book, we talked about that a couple months back. It's about acknowledging where you are and acknowledging your current condition. I love God, but I have an addiction. I love God, but I done stepped out on my relationship a few times. Yeah. I love God, but I'm not the best parent. I love God, and I know he told me not to be fearful, but sometimes I'm afraid. I love God, but God, since I'm struggling so much, I've turned to substance abuse to be able to calm my nerves, because at least if I get my fix, maybe I'll get a few hours of sleep. God, I love you, but I'm miserable. Here's the reality of the situation. God is saying, I need you to understand that I need you to acknowledge where you are so that you can get to the place where I would have you to be. Do y'all understand the power of acknowledging where you are? Do you really understand that? When I say where I am honestly, it would seem like I am in a place of weakness. When I said I'm tired and I can't go on, It would seem like I'm saying that I'm about to give up. That's what the enemy, that's what the adversary, that's what the war that's going on with your mind. Say, you got to keep going. You got to push through. You can't take time out to deal with your PTSD. You got to keep driving on. You ain't got time to deal with your stuff. Go on into the next relationship without dealing with the hurt from the last one. Because that's what the enemy wants you to do, so you can destroy what God wants to do in your life. But when you get to the place where you say, God, I am where I am. Can I ask y'all right there, wherever you are, this is a safe space. Look to the ceiling, because that's us looking to God. Everybody look up. Everybody, media team, musicians. Tell God where you are right now. Right there, ready, set, go. Just say it, blurt it out, wherever you are. Whether it's tired, whether it's happy, whether it's sad, just yell it out right now. Come on, I want to hear everybody. Just yell out wherever you are. Amen. I hear people being obedient in the spirit. People get free. Wherever you are you yelling out to God? Ain't no shame in here, fam. Listen, that's another thing. The enemy won't act like you can't come. You in a safe space, fam. You in a safe space where people just like you love God like you love God. So on the count of three, we're using one word. I don't care what your adjective is. I don't care what your adverb is. On the count of three, I want you to yell out where you are, because Paul said his word was miserable. Some of y'all word is tired. Some of y'all are, I'm uncertain. Some of y'all are, I just need hope. Wherever you are, on the count of three, because this is a day of freedom. I'm serious. Some people getting free. Y'all ready? Count of three. Everybody going to yell out. In social media, you can type it in, because God is about to do something. On the count of three, I want you to yell it out. Just one word that summarizes where you are right now in life. On the count of three. One, two, three. Yell it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what you have just done is that's what it's like to surrender to God. That's what it means. God says, sometimes I couldn't fix it for you because you would not surrender. You still wanted to fix it. You still wanted to do it your way, but I need you to full out surrender. Let me help make it a little bit lighthearted. Anybody ever watch Westerns? Old school Westerns, the Gunsmoke and the Rifleman. You got to be old. I started watching that stuff recently. That's some good stuff. Let me tell you what I love about some of them Westerns, Minister Jamal. Listen, they got a six shooter with 387 bullets. It's amazing. And coming around the bend, it's a six shooter, but it got 387 bullets. But watch this, y'all. I watched one of the Westerns one time. And when he kept shooting the six shooter, but he finally got to bullet number 387. And guess what happened, fam? He pulled a trigger and nothing came out. That's what it's like to be where Paul was. God, I've prayed every prayer. I fasted every time they asked us to fast. I've read every devotional. I've cried and I prayed and I prayed and I cried. And now I'm pulling the trigger and ain't nothing coming out. You get to the point that you pull the trigger in those Westerns and nothing come out, they will literally just take the six shooter and throw it at the bad guy. Because he ain't got nothing left. But I saw something, Minister David. When I'm out of bullets and ain't got nothing else to fire, and I throw the bullet and I throw the gun, I throw the six shooter at him, I discovered something then, Joe. I discovered that my hands are empty. And God is saying that when your hands are empty, now I can do what no other power can do. Do you receive that? Can I talk to a mother that's in here with an empty hand? Can I talk to a father that's in here with an empty hand? There's some students in here with an empty hand. You've done all that you know how to do. Your hand is empty. God is saying your next chapter is about to be your best chapter, because now you are at a place of full surrender and you're going to see me like you have never seen me before. Get ready to see God in this season like you have never seen him before. Can you receive that in the spirit? Give God some glory in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that I understand that there's a warfare in my mind, I acknowledge where I am. The third thing you got to do is that now I got to understand the dynamics of my deliverance. Now that my hand is empty, God wants to deliver us, but we got to understand the dynamics of deliverance. Let's read the word of God. Thank God. That's why the theologians was tripping, because they're like, ain't no way you go from what you were saying in them first couple of verses to all of a sudden thanking God. What are you thanking God for? Well, he'll tell you, thank God. The answer to the war that's in my mind, the answer to what I am going through, the answer to my pain, the answer to my deliverance is where? In Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Can I talk to you about the dynamics of deliverance briefly? Listen, this is what you got to understand, and this is where it gets real as a believer. Deliverance is real. You hear me? Deliverance is real. Deliverance, all it means, so we're not so afraid of that word anymore, is that there is something in me that you know is not what God would have you to be. But you keep turning back to it, not because you want to, but because it got a hold on you. Yeah, it got you. And so when we talk about deliverance, we're saying that when you come into the presence of the Most High God, and when you come and surrender yourself, that God, through his son Jesus, has the ability to deliver you from whatever has you bound. All right? You can be delivered from abuse. You absolutely can be delivered from drug addiction. You can be delivered from being a fearful person. You can be delivered from being a person who walks without faith. There is nothing that you cannot be delivered from. Deliverance is real, but we got to understand two things about deliverance. That deliverance is absolutely a process. God, for reasons unknown to us, has chosen that when I decide to deliver you, for some of you, Deacon Rainey, it's going to be a process. For some of you, it can be instantaneous, instant. But for most of us, you got to understand that God has heard your cry, but deliverance is a process. See, that process is what shapes you. It molds you. It prepares you for your next chapter to be the best chapter. God is saying, I could have brought you out of it last week, but I needed you to stay where you are about 7 more days so that it was something that you could learn that you're going to need when the next chapter is your best chapter. I could have delivered you quicker, but the reason I let you go all the way up to the point of surgery before I healed you was because I needed somebody to know that it wasn't the medicine that did it. It was my hand. The reason I let you go through the divorce, but I let another marriage be spared, is because you're going to have a testimony that the divorce doesn't find you. The reason I spared your marriage, because you're going to have a testimony that if I give it over to God, God can do exceedingly and abundantly. You got to understand that deliverance is a process, but you got to understand that God is up to something. Listen, can I speak into your life? Don't run from the process. Don't run from what God is doing. Don't run from the fire. Don't run from the shaping. Don't run from the molding. God is preparing you. The old saints used to say, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy God is saying, I am preparing you for so much greatness. You're going to lead people to the Lord. You're going to save lives. You're going to be the lender and not the borrower. You're going to encourage so many people. You're going to bring your family back to God. You're going to be the change that the nation needs to see. You just got to go through the process because your testimony is the result of the test that you've been through. Is there anybody that has a testimony because of the test that you've been through? The hell that you went through. The sleepless nights you went through. The times you misunderstood, the times of not having a friend to call, God is saying, I know it doesn't feel good, but it's a part of your process. Now, because it's a part of the process, you got to understand this, family. Listen to this real carefully. This is where I think sometimes we
Got to do a better job on our teaching. Because you're going to be ready for the next chapter to be your best chapter. Listen to this. Joe, where you at, Joe? Come here, Joe. Come here, Joe. Come on, keep worshiping, woman of God. God, we love you, woman of God. Y'all just intercede and just pray. Let's cry. She in a safe space. Let her know she in a safe space. Let her know she in a safe space. She's surrounded. Wherever she at, woman of God, you're in a safe space. We got you. You're in a safe space. We love you so much. I need some of my lady ministers and one of the lady deacons just to post up by her. Just let her know. You ain't got to say nothing. Just post up. Let her know. Just let her know. Just let her know she in a safe space. She in a safe space. She don't even know her tears are not only freeing her, she freeing somebody else. Because see, somebody else needed to cry out. Now that you cried out, they going to be willing to cry out. Yeah, you in a safe space, sis. God hears your cries. Your next chapter will be your best chapter. If you're in a safe space, sis. You're in a safe space. Joe, I'm trying to get the people of God to understand this. That while deliverance is real, and while deliverance is a process, I need everybody else to understand this, Joe. Real talk. You're my brother. I need them to understand this one thing, man of God. That just because you are delivered from it, it does not mean you still won't have to deal with it. Did you hear what I said? God is saying today I'm going to set some people free. Some people are going to be delivered. But Pastor Walt, don't you dare give them a false assumption that because they delivered from it, they won't have to deal with it. God is going to deliver somebody from addiction today, but the enemy is still going to try to tempt you with it. God is going to deliver somebody from a sexual stronghold today, but the enemy is still going to throw it up in your face. Just because you delivered don't mean you don't have to deal with it. But I want you to see the power of the text. The power of the text reminds us that we don't now deal with it alone, Joe. Now we understand that in Christ Jesus, I can deal with whatever comes my way. Look at it in the text. I thank God that the answer is in Christ Jesus. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. What does that mean, to be a slave to sin? The writer is trying to get you to see something. That until Jesus returns, until he returns for the righteous, until he returns for his people, we always going to have to deal with sin. We always going to have to deal with division. We always going to have to deal with stuff. But the writer said, don't be dismayed about it, because there's a power that's available to you when you are in Christ Jesus. Can I teach it for a minute? To be in Christ Jesus in this time means a lot of simple things. It's not complex at all. It's simple. First of all, for your new season, the next season to be your best season, you got to be in Christ Jesus. Real simple, because you got to be able to explain this to your children. First and foremost, you have to believe that Jesus literally existed. I saw that sound simple, but there are people that don't even believe that Jesus walked the earth. After you believe that he walked the earth, you got to believe that the Lord sent him down through 40 and two. That's how the old preacher said. Down through 40 and two generations. Meaning that you believe that when you read the Bible and how God worked through Abraham and how God worked through David and even how God worked through a prostitute. Did y'all know that the Bible literally tells us that there's a prostitute in the lineage of Jesus? He did that on purpose to let you know that I can use whoever I want to use, whenever I want to use them, how I want to use them. You gotta believe, you gotta see the lineage, and you gotta believe that. And then you gotta believe that he was born by way of a virgin birth. That's where some people got lost, because they said, hey, there's no way that he could be born of a virgin birth. We know his daddy named Joseph, his carpentry shop down there on Main Street. But he would say, that's not my father. That was just a father figure in the earthly realm. But I am God and God is me. You got to believe that the Father and Son are one. That's where Jesus lost people right there. There are people that believe today that Jesus was a good person. He was a good rabbi. He was a good teacher. But they struggle with believing that the Father and Son are one. You got to believe that in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? Was God. And the Word was with God. John 1:1. You have to believe that for yourself. Now, when you believe that for yourself, there's something that happens. Guess what happens as a believer? When you believe and you are in Christ as a believer, the Bible says that you get this power, this Holy Ghost power, that the Spirit of God dwells within you to help you with the war of your mind. It's not that you don't have to fight the war. It's the fact that you're not fighting the war by yourself. Can I tell you, somebody, stop fighting by yourself. The presence of the Lord is here. Stop fighting by yourself. You're not going to win fighting by yourself. And when you believe that, to be in Christ, the biggest part about being in Christ, Romans 10:9 tells us that we have to confess with our mouth and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. But that's the beginning, because it's not just what we say, it's what we do. And if you are in Christ, I've been saying this about 2 weeks in a row, you got to walk it like you talk it, right? Don't tell me that you are in Christ and every time drama comes into your life, you tuck in and run. Don't tell me that you are in Christ and every time it doesn't go your way, you are all in your feelings. We all get in our feelings, but every now and then, the redeemed of the Lord have to be able to reach deep into the well, have to be able to call on the Most High, have to be able to use your spiritual gifts. Don't you know that you have the gift of discernment? So you ought to be able to discern some stuff before you make your next decision. Don't you know that you have the gift to speak life into dead situations? Because we got to walk it like we talk it. Don't you know that we lay hands because we have the power through what Jesus has given us to lay hands on people and their life gets set free, to lay hands on people and the cancer has to disappear. Don't you know that God is giving you everything that you need for the next season of your life to be the best season of your life? Now, what does all of that mean? Can I tell you what it means? Well, I'll tell you simply like this. The last point is an important point, fam. At the end of the day, be free. At the end of the day, be free. Did you hear me what I said? At the end of the day, be free. Let's read it in the Word of God, because people getting free today. So now, everybody say so now. That means that no matter what I've been through, no matter what I did, no matter who I did it with, everybody say so now. You see, you thought that God couldn't use you because of your yesterday, but the writer here is saying so now. I know I was present when they stoned Stephen, but so now. I know I spent a long part of my life on the wrong road, doing the wrong thing, but so now. Is there anybody in the house that has a so now in your testimony? I know you heard that I had a divorce, but so now. I know you heard that I had a child before I got married, but so now. I know you heard that I once got fired, but so now. Why are you getting excited, preacher, about the so now in this text? Well, because the next clause is the clause that's going to set some people free. The next clause says there is no condemnation. Do y'all understand what condemnation is? That means that you did the crime and you should do the time. You made the bad choice. You took the substance you shouldn't have took. You moved to a place you shouldn't have moved to. You left a place you should have stayed. You made a bad investment. You made a bad career move. You made a bad mistake. You lied because you was afraid. You cheated because you was losing hope. But the Bible declares there is no condemnation. What does that mean, preacher? That means that even though you did it, Jesus has declared that you're not guilty. Did you hear what I said? Don't care where you've been. Don't care what you did. When you are in Jesus, there is no condemnation. That means you can't talk to me about my past. You can't talk to me about my mess up. Don't send me no more mess. Don't tell me about what you heard. Stay out of my inbox. Because the Bible says there's no condemnation. You ought to be glad because we've all done did some stuff. But Jesus declares there's no condemnation. When there is no condemnation, that means that we are free. I need about 5 people, and I'll be number 6, to give God a free praise. If you know that you are free, you might have to get out of your seat and give God a free praise. If you know that you're free for real, for the next chapter, to be the best chapter of your life. God is saying, you got to get free of your yesterday. God is saying, forgive yourself because I've already forgiven you. The next chapter will be the best chapter, but you gotta be free. We gotta declare our freedom in this place. What a worshiper is that? We gotta declare our liberty in this place because the word of God declares who the Son sets free is free indeed. That was an old song in the old church that blesses me, y'all. And it blesses me real good. The song used to say, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chain holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. I'm going to run it back one more time. You might not be from the old church, but they used to say, I'm free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound. No more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, I'm free. I'm going to do it one more again. From the people in the back, I'm going to do it one more again until a man of God gets free. I'm going to do it one more again until a child gets free. I'm going to do it one more time until a musician gets free. I'm going to do it one more time until a deacon gets free. I'm going to do it one more time until a preacher gets free. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. No more chain holding me. My soul is resting. That means I'm going to sleep good tonight. My soul is resting. I'm going to put it in the Lord's hands. My soul is resting. He's going to make a way out of no way. My soul is resting. He's about to roll the stone away. My soul is resting. My family's about to turn around. My soul is resting. He's about to bless my finances. My soul is resting. He's about to bless my ministry. My soul is resting. He's about to keep his promise. My soul is resting. I'm about to walk in my purpose. My soul is resting. My child is coming back to the Lord. My soul is resting. It's just a blessing. Praise the Lord. Don't you know when you get free? The ultimate sign of a free person is predicated by their praise. If you are a free person, you ought to give God some praise. I need about 100 free people to give God a crazy praise. I need about 100 free people to worship in the aisle because you are free today. I'm free today. I'm free today. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. Ooh, it is sweet, I know. It feels good to be free. Some of y'all been bound up so long. feels good to be free. If it feels good to be free, give God the best that you got. Thank you, God, for freeing us. I'm free. I'm free from doubt. I'm free from anxiety. I'm free from depression. I'm free from your opinion. I'm free. Hey! Come on, free worshipers. You are free. Give God some free worship. You are free. The Lord says that you are free from it. The Lord says that you are loose from it. The Lord says that what was meant to kill you, that he has blocked it, and he's pushed it away. The Lord says that you are forgiven. The Lord says walk in victory, walk in overflow. You are free in this house today. I need some free people to give God everything. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Hey! There's somebody in here, you've been bound for the last 30 years. God is showing me. You've been bound for the last 30 years. You've been pressing through, but you've been bound. God is saying, be free today. Come to this altar. Be free today. I need everybody that want to be free for real to come to this altar. We got two choices today. We can get to this altar and be free. Or we can go back like we came. Hey, Lord. Hey, Lord. People getting free today. It's coming out. Get free today. And listen, if you free, you got a family member that's bound. You better get down here for your brother. You better get down here for your aunt. You better get down here for your mother, your father, your neighbor. There's freedom in this house today. We decree and declare in the name of Jesus. All of my ministers, let's work. Let's lay hands and touch and decree. God, free your people right here. Free them right here. Free them right here. Cry out to God. Don't come, don't leave here. And let PTSD have a stronghold on your life. Don't leave here. And let abuse have a stronghold on your life. Don't leave here. And let what somebody else did to you have a stronghold on your life. We're free today. Because for the next chapter to be the best chapter, you got to be free. Oh, free your people, God. Free your people, God. Spirit of the living God, are y'all praying with me? You ought to be praying that God's spirit will just wipe out this place. God, wipe them out in this place in the spirit. Because they got to be free today. They got to be free today. They got to be free today. Give them enough Holy Ghost power to overcome whatever they've been dealing with. Free them up, God. Free every man. All the men, be free today, man of God. If you get free, your whole family will change, man. Did you hear what I said? If you get free, you'll have a better relationship with the mother of your child. If you get free, it's going to turn. If you get free, your children will respect you more. If you get free, favor is growing. Woman of God, get free today. Be free in the name of Jesus. Well, God, you carry so much, woman of God. But God said, be free of thinking you got to carry everything. Woman of God, be free of thinking you got to carry everything. The battle is not yours, woman of God. It belongs to the Lord. You got to be free today. You got to lay it down at this altar. You got to lay it down at this altar. Are y'all laying it down? Are you laying it down? You laying it down at this altar. Yeah. It's a free house. We are touching in the green. The ministers are laying hands. We are speaking life. We are believing God that freedom is yours today. You got to believe it for yourself. I truly know that if you accept the freedom that is available today and you walk in it no matter what comes at you, you remember that you are free. The next chapter will be the best chapter. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray over your people right now. In the spirit, 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 in the spirit. You're freeing people right now. There's some people that just need to to kneel at the altar. There are some people that need to kneel at their seat. God, there are intercessors at this altar as well. They are here because somebody in their family needs to be free. God, I hear the sound of freedom. I hear the sound of liberty. I see it shifting for somebody in this atmosphere. God is shifting right now in this atmosphere. God, we didn't come to play with it. We came to have a real encounter. God, we need you to do it, and we need you to do it now. God, give them strength. Fill them up with your Holy Spirit. For the next chapter to be the best chapter, they need to feel your presence. They need to understand how you are moving. Fill them up, God, with the power of the Holy Ghost so that they can be who you called them to be and do what you have called them to do. I speak life into every dead situation. God, I speak life. I speak life. God, they shall live and not die. No matter what has come before them, they shall live and not die. The dream shall live and not die. God, I speak life. I speak hope. I speak victory. We decree and declare under the power of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Fall. Fall right now, God. Feel until there's overflow. Every woman, every man, every boy, every girl, feel, Father God, so we can be who you called us to be. Oh Lord, we love you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship in this place.
Thank you for tuning in to our sermons podcast here at Chosen City Church. This and other podcasts, as well as our live Sunday morning service, can be found on all of our streaming platforms and are also available on the new Chosen City Church app, which is available on both the Apple Store and Google Play. We would love to see you in person on Sunday morning at either our 8 a.m. or 10:15 services. We are located at 13925 Irwin Road in Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope to see you soon and have a blessed day.